Good morning. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Our text for today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verses 34 through chapter 16, verses 13, where we hear the story of how Samuel chose a new king for Israel. We also learn one very important attribute about God, that unlike us, God judges people by their character and not by their appearance. We live in a world of technological wonders. Today we can talk to a computer and it will answer questions for us. Many of us live in smart homes where temperatures adjust, window blinds open, and lights turn on and off on our command. In just a few years, instead of us driving our cars to work, our cars will be driving us to work. And today we can buy all kinds of electronic gizmos to measure and track all kinds of mundane activities. Here are just a few of the devices you can now purchase that will do these things for us. Jawbone, Fitbit, Garmin, Move, Polar, TomTom, Misfit, Withings, and Xiaomi. These are all brand names of devices known as wearable technologies. These devices will monitor and measure all kinds of different things in our lives, from the number of steps we take in a day, to the number of calories we consume, to what your heart rate is at any given moment. Rabbi David Wolpe, who lives in Los Angeles, California, says that he recently acquired a new iPhone. As his daughter was going through all of the new applications that he could put on it, he decided to download the pedometer app that would count the number of steps that he walked in a day. He states that after putting this app on his phone, that he often checks his phone multiple times a day just to check on his steps. He says, "Now I have an entirely new field to uselessly obsess over." Now he not only checks his steps often, but also wonders whether he's getting enough steps in. He also worries about the number of steps he gets on the Sabbath, since he usually does not carry his phone on that day. He says that as he thought about this, it led him to think about all the things that we measure as a society. And he also thought about those things that cannot be measured. The great scientist Galileo once told a colleague to measure what is measurable and make measurable what is not so. But yet, how do you measure such things as a person's character or a father's influence on his children? The important role that fathers play in the lives of their children should never be undervalued. And it seems to me that our society today has grossly undervalued the role that fathers play in the lives of their children. All you must do is look at the effects of growing up without a father that it has had on many children, and you will quickly understand. Not long ago, I read about a Catholic nun who was a prison chaplain. One day, as she was speaking to a group of inmates, one of them asked if she could possibly find a Mother's Day card for him, because he wanted to send one to his mother for Mother's Day. Well, this gave her a wonderful idea. She just knew that the other inmates would likely want to do the same. So she contacted a greeting card company and explained the situation to them. They responded by donating a whole case of Mother's Day cards for those inmates. Excited, she took them to the prison the next day to give out to those inmates. And almost every inmate took a card and thanked her, grateful for the opportunity that she gave to them to send a card to their mother for Mother's Day. A few weeks later, she realized that Father's Day was not far off. She wanted to give those inmates the opportunity to send a card to their father as well. So she contacted the same company that had donated the Mother's Day cards. And sure enough, they responded by sending her a case of Father's Day cards for the prisoners. But this time, things were much different. To her astonishment, when she offered the inmates Father's Day cards, not a single inmate took a card from her. As the years went by, the greeting card company faithfully gave her a case of Mother's Day cards every year for the inmates at her prison. And every year, the Mother's Day cards would almost all disappear. But she still has that original case of Father's Day cards that she had ever received, and very few have ever been used. Fathers, you should never underestimate the importance of your relationship that you have with your children and the influence that you have had on their lives. And we might also add, our prisons are full of those who had no positive relationship with their fathers. There is no scale that exists to measure love, loyalty, integrity, or character. While it may be easy to tell whether or not these things are present or are being practiced, how do you measure how much there is of it, or the impact of these things on another person's life? If we did have some device that could measure the depth of love we had for another person, for example, how cool would that be? Why, it would mean that guys would not have to sweat so much on Valentine's Day, hoping to find just the right card, or the right box of chocolates, or the right piece of jewelry, or the right number of red roses to buy to adequately express their love for their wife or their girlfriends. This would be great for us guys. We could simply pull up the love spreadsheet on our laptops and print it off and attach it to that Valentine's Day card. However, such an app would also mark the end of such things as romantic poems and sonnets. Guys would no longer have to make utter fools of themselves by proposing marriage on the big screen at a ball game or paying a plane to write, "I love you," in the sky. The ability to measure love would also spell the end of a large segment of the music industry and many other products and rituals that many men spend huge sums of money on to prove their love for their sweethearts. So I guess, in short, the ability to put an app on your smartphone that would measure love would probably be an utter disaster. Granted, if we had an app that could calibrate or evaluate our emotions, including love and affection, we might be better able to make wiser decisions about such things as whom to trust, whom to believe, whom to hire, and even whom to marry. And perhaps one day in the future, we will have access to that kind of a tool. But in Samuel's case, he could have really used an app that would have helped him to identify a new king for Israel. God told Samuel where to go, where to begin the process of selecting a king, and even which family that this new king would come from. But God did not tell him which brother it would be, at least to begin with. So Samuel scrutinizes the boys intently as they pass by him, hoping to see something about one of them that will give him a clue as to which one God has chosen to replace Saul, the king whom God has rejected. So as Samuel watches this parade of young men, he sees some impressive candidates. But Samuel looks at these men in the same way that most people still judge others today, by their appearance. Isn't it amazing how little has changed in over 3,000 years? Don't most of us still do exactly the same thing? We size up a person and even make judgments about their character and their personalities based on their appearance, by how tall they are, by their weight, facial hair or hairstyle, and especially by how they are dressed. Samuel tries to gauge the merit of Jesse's sons by how they look. And as the eldest passes by, he thinks to himself, "This must be the one." But then the Lord tells Samuel, "I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And as we know, it will be the youngest son, David, that God has chosen to be King Saul's successor. God essentially tells Samuel not to think too much about David's outward appearance, but to trust God to do the measuring using God's standards and not his. Looking on the heart, as Rabbi Wolpe indicates, is not something that wearable technology can measure. However, psychologists and psychiatrists have always tried to design tests that would have the ability to measure a person's character. Of course, the problem with these kinds of tests is that they really are not very helpful when you need to make a decision on the spot about someone's character or their motivation. After all, it would not be very romantic to ask your girlfriend or boyfriend to get a psych evaluation before you would go out with them, would it? It would kind of kill the magic, don't you think? Still, one of the best ways to evaluate a person's character is to simply observe their behavior, and especially to watch what they do when they think that no one else is watching. Psych evaluations have their place. Everyone who wants to become a Methodist pastor is required by our denomination to take one, and you can learn a lot about yourself by doing so. But if it is only knowledge about ourselves we are after, there are other better tools that are available to us. Psychologists who are truly wanting to measure a person's behavior in order to evaluate their character say that any test must be done in an unobtrusive way in order to obtain accurate results. What this means is that the person being tested should have no knowledge that they are being tested or that someone is watching them. This is the reason that there really is no such thing as so-called reality TV, because the very fact that people are visibly present and watching what is happening will influence people's behavior. Another example is that some smartphone apps now allow retailers to track the movement of the owner of the phone in their store without their knowledge. For instance, if a customer is logged into some discount apps, their phone will track which aisle they go down and how long they pause to look at a display or an item that they are thinking of purchasing. If you shop online, you can bet that there is a computer keeping track of every web page that you visit and everything that you looked at on that web page. This is called data mining, and this is exactly the reason why Facebook has been in the news so much lately. Our behavior when we think we are alone or believe that no one else is watching us is so important and is a true indicator of our character. This is the method that God uses. After Samuel wasted a lot of time evaluating king candidates using external measurements, God stepped in and halted Samuel's evaluation process. God said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The key to self-assessment, then, is to try and see as God sees. Honesty is not something that comes easily for us when it comes to our own self-evaluation. Yet it is critical for our own spiritual growth, and especially in our relationship with God, to be honest about our weaknesses and the areas in our lives where we need improvement. It is also profitable for us to take inventory of who we are and what we might be doing so as to become more Christ-like in our behavior. Making ourselves aware of our weaknesses and our shortcomings will help us understand what makes us tick and identify the areas in our lives where we need to improve, especially if we are willing to look at our behavior honestly. Self-evaluation can give us insight into why certain things go wrong in our own relationships with others and help us to address those things that need changing in a positive way. There are times when we just need to forgive ourselves and move on, but we can also grow spiritually by honestly addressing our shortcomings. While I believe Rabbi Wolf was right in suggesting that there is no scale for measuring love or integrity, and no app for evaluating the level of love or kindness that a person practices, watching what a person does will give us some very strong indicators as to a person's true character. And we can often tell a lot by looking at the trail of relationships that someone leaves behind them in their wake. So let's try to see ourselves as God sees us. Let's try to pattern our behavior after Christ's example of how to love others. And just maybe, like David, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us and will guide us to become the mothers and fathers, the friends and the neighbors, and the disciples of Jesus Christ that God would have us to be, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.